Here's former Canadian national keeper, TSN analyst, here's Paul Dolan on Overdrive. How you doing, Paul?
I'm pretty good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. So where do you stand on this story? Like Alphonso Davies has a priority to the whole country and anyone that's covering this team to make sure that his time is always available. Where do you kind of stand on this Davies story?
Of all the people to try to have a poke at, Alphonso Davies, who has been the face of Canadian soccer, who's traveled all over Hell's Half Acre to represent his team, who's put himself in danger of injury, who has played for Bayern Munich, who obviously has gone to the Champions League, and he's sacrificed his club team performance to put himself out for Canada, and really has been the face. I think it's sour grapes. It's a little surprising as well, this article I've read as well, because apparently this is a good writer, right? So it's not as if he doesn't.
Yeah, you're referencing
the
CBC article that got a lot of traction online.
That's right. And my understanding is that he wasn't made available outside of the rights holders, but he has done so much above and beyond. I just think it's... He's the wrong target to pick. Maybe the CSA could have made other players available, and of course you want to speak to Alphonso Davies, but it seems a bit harsh to me.
Paul, what do you think this Canadian team is taking home after this game tomorrow? I mean, it's obviously disappointment, but is it learning lessons? Is it experience? Is it disappointment? Well, like, besides their luggage, what are they taking away from this?
I hope, actually, after tomorrow, it isn't disappointment because they win that game and they finish on a high. Now, obviously, not getting out of the group is going to be disappointing regardless of whether they win or not. But their performances have been good. Losing 4-1, that's a bad result. But the performance against Belgium, second-ranked team in the world, was excellent, really good. But in hindsight, you wonder, after the Croatia start, which was so good, and them not being able to kind of manage their way through that game once Croatia started turning the gears. That was the frustration, I think. But I think it's a, like you said there, it's a learning. You realize that, okay, you can come in full of vinegar, looking to get after everyone, looking to be aggressive, but sometimes you have to adjust your game plan based on the opposition. You can't just always be about, okay, we're better than everyone else, or we think that we can play our game plan and not have to adapt to what the other team is throwing at you. So that's probably the biggest lesson learned. I guess John Herdman has one or two lessons as well that he has rightly acknowledged about how to, not wind up the opposition, quite frankly. And that's, I think, what happened with Croatia a little bit, albeit Croatia is such a strong side that I don't think it took that extra motivation. But it didn't help, did it?
So right, yeah.
There's a few learnings there, yeah. One other thing for me, sorry, is that, in my opinion, and this might be a small thing, all things told, but I think you should have a determined penalty kick taker rather than allowing the players to pick it. That's just something that I've always felt strongly about, is that you put it in the player's mind so they know ahead of the game. They don't have to worry about the pressure or the decision-making on the spot there. And I almost feel like Alphonso Davies kind of took that on himself, that pressure as well. And I don't know that that was a good thing because he's not the best penalty taker on the team. So that's another thing that, in the end, might have cost him that game against Belgium.
We're Paul Dolan, our TSN analyst, Canada-Morocco tomorrow. John Herdman has obviously done a lot for soccer in this country, both on the women's and men's side. And once we wrap up tomorrow, you know, everyone will go their separate ways and we start looking towards 2026 when we know Canada will be back in the World Cup. And Herdman's saying all the right things about wanting to be a part of that, but it doesn't sound like it's 100% commitment. And I'm curious, Paul, if you think that it will in fact be the case, that Herdman will still be here in 26, or is there a chance that, you know, a different club, a different nation comes calling and he'll find that too enticing?
You kind of got that sense as well, huh, from the way he answered that question. I know John well. I was on the staff as the goalkeeper coach for a couple of years and know him quite well. And his answer in the end was excellent because it sounded committed to me. But I did get a sense that, and I do know too, that John loves a challenge, loves to take himself to that next level, I think, would love to coach at the club level, probably back in England. But it's also about that opportunity and whether he's presented with that. But he's also started something that he wants to continue to build. And really, he's only halfway there. We're hosting a World Cup in 2026 with a group of players that he has helped cultivate this incredible culture and brotherhood that will be in their primes. Many of them, the best players, Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, will all be in their prime. Ishmael Kone will be coming through at that time as well. So I think it's probably a project he'd like to see to fruition. But if there was a better opportunity in terms of day-to-day football club-wise, I don't know that he'd turn that down.
Well, you talk about the projections of 2026, and I think Herdman will be at the front of that. Like, what happens? Where is he a part of it? And your position, Milan Borjan, he's not a young guy. Do you see Milan as the keeper of the future here into 26, or might there need to be some sort of a succession plan at some point?
There definitely will need to be a succession plan regardless, because you want to have stability and depth in that position. And I think the good news is that whether Milan's back or not, he's 35 now, that would be 39. You could say, oh, that's pretty old. Dino's off, if you remember, played for Italy in the World Cup at the age of 40. Atiba Hutchinson, an outfield player, is playing for Canada at the age of 39. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, especially players that keep themselves in pretty good shape these days. And he's an excellent goalkeeper, and I think wants to continue to earn a living in Red Star Belgrade, in the country where he's settled now, in Serbia. And I could see him possibly coming back, because he loves to play for Canada. But Maxime Crépeau is probably the goalkeeper that will be the starting goalkeeper in Canada at the 2026 World Cup, coming into his prime now at LAFC. He had that tragic injury in the MLS Cup final just before the World Cup tournament started. So he would be there. And then Dane St. Clair is an up-and-coming keeper as well at Minnesota United. So I think that would be the two keepers I would lean on. And then we'll see which other young keeper might break through onto the scene as well.
With Paul Dolan. So in terms of what we can expect tomorrow from Herdman, and you know who gets to play and how they approach it, because it's a big match for Morocco, big match for Belgium and Croatia. They're going at the same time. How do you see his attack, his formation, and who gets to play? You know, is there any chance that he decides to give someone a kick at the can that maybe wouldn't be playing if they were actually playing for something tomorrow? How do you see Herdman's strategy playing out tomorrow, considering they're out of the tournament and it's effectively a friendly at the World Cup?
I think the idea of playing younger players is okay in theory, because you're looking to get players World Cup experience for when we host in 2026. But really, it's the task at hand, winning the game tomorrow, getting a point tomorrow, a result that Canada's never gotten at the World Cup. So I really believe anything outside of putting your best 11 will be the only thing in John Herdman's mind. He'll just want to get the result. How best to do that will depend on the injury status of Stefan Eustachio and Atiba Hutchinson. I don't see that you can go with Atiba again, talking about his advanced age, after having been kind of run into the ground against Croatia through that midfield where it was just the two of them, him and Eustachio, up against maybe the best midfield in the world, those three, led by Luka Modric. So I think we'll see an adjustment there. I think we might see a three-man midfield with the wide players, so a 3-5-2 possibly, with maybe Ishmael Kone getting a start. And Jonathan Osorio came in well, I thought, and performed at a good level, and I think he could start there as well. So is that Sami Piet in behind them if neither Eustachio or Hutchinson could go? I think that's a possibility as well.
Paul, you mentioned 2026, and clearly with nothing substantial to play for tomorrow, I don't think it's too early to look ahead. How different should expectations be going into that than this time around, where you talk to kind of just casual football fans and it would be like, man, I hope they can score a goal, possibly get a victory, tie? I mean, how far away from those expectations, or how much should they change going into the next one?
I might have been guilty of putting a little bit higher expectation level than, well, a lot of people I think had high expectations because of the way that they smashed their way through the CONCACAF table and topped it at the end. and played well against Mexico and the United States, both home, yeah, where they won both those games against those teams.
You know what, Paul? Any person that I talked to at work, it was kind of their hopeful expectations was like, shoulda, woulda, coulda, maybe hope. You know what I mean? It was like, I don't know, maybe these guys could do some damage. And then you could, after that, it turned into, but I hope they can get a goal. You know what I mean? It was kind of, I don't know how to describe the optimism, whether it was, I don't know what it was, but that
was
kind of the check.
It was,
yes.
It felt like a forced out. And obviously, appropriate approach.
No, you're right. I think it was a little bit of a false hope. Very tough group. But then again, you look across all the groups, they're all tough. And surprisingly, a couple of the so-called minnows have performed well. You know, Saudi Arabia gets a huge win over Argentina. Australia gets out of their group. Some of the smaller teams did well. And so it wasn't completely out of the question that a team on a high like Canada with good, youthful, attacking talent could cause an upset. And they almost did against Belgium. They almost did. Now, in hindsight, I wonder, is Belgium really that bad? Because they looked poor in the next game against Morocco. But the expectation for me is, with these players coming into their prime and the pipeline of young players that's being produced now, and I think there's an aspirational effect as well, and it might be not 26 that this pays fruit, but maybe down the road. But I think a lot of young athletes now are inspired by this Canadian team, and you know, maybe if it's a 50-50 ball, they go to soccer instead of hockey or whatever. That's just an example of, I think that a lot of young Canadian athletes will want to play soccer, and I think that especially since going to 48 teams for the next World Cup, even beyond 26 when we host and get an automatic berth, Canada will never not qualify again for a World Cup. I really believe that. So the expectation level for me in a weird World Cup in 26, because remember it's 48 teams now and there's groups of three, and I'm not sure exactly if they've determined yet how they're going to work through those groups, but would be as a host country to get out of the group. And I think some of them felt that they could do that this go around. Obviously they're not going to, but I think in 2026, based on the players alone and hosting, that we would have a good chance of getting out.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens tomorrow, and maybe that also changes our view moving forward. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Good to be on.
There's Paul Dolan, former national keeper for Canada and our TSN analyst as well.